That's right, and we are back on Tell the Band to Go Home. Always love it when folks drop by to play us a few songs. It's always a highlight of the show for me. Hopefully it will be for you. We got the Todd Hunter Band, a couple of guys here anyway. Todd and Jeff are here. They'll play us a couple of songs. But first we'll hear something off their brand new record, Life is Good. This is another good one. I Will Wait from Todd Hunter. Tell the Band to Go Home.
Mark Stewart, you're listening to Tell the Band to Go Home, 101.5 UMFM.
still make war if all your money gone? And would you give love, or could you be loved if all your money gone?
That is brand new from the Todd Hunter Band. The album is Life is Good. We heard Gone, and before that, I Will Wait. And glad our wait is over. Jeff and Todd are back. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Haven't seen you in a while.
It's good to see you.
Got the new record ready to go. That must be exciting.
Very exciting. It's took us longer than we had originally planned, but it was well worth the wait. And
what was the holdup? Internal squabbles? The band wasn't getting along? Huh?
No, actually, nothing that exciting. Just, you know, when we first started, you know, we had a bunch of equipment changes, and then what happened? I did some renovations. I had my kitchen renovated, and we were hoping to have a bunch of the tracking done before that happened. And then once the kitchen got renovated, it never sort of anticipated how much of a disaster that would be. And so we couldn't actually get back at it. And then it took us longer to, you know, we were lucky enough to go in and mix with Howard Risson at Midcan. And, yeah. You know, we had to get booked pretty far in advance. We were behind on that. But then we just decided to take our time, and it was worth it. So.
Right on. The record is sort of, I guess, not that far from the other record. But for me, it sounds a little bit more laid back or a little bit more mellow than the other record. There aren't as many rockers, I don't think, on this record. Was that sort of a conscious thing or...?
I don't know. I mean, I just write songs, and that's just sort of, I'm just a receptor to what's out there. And I don't know. This one, we just tried to, like, the last one was pretty indulgent. We were happy with it. This one, I think we just tried to, you know, stick to like a vinyl format, you know.
Yeah.
Wanted it to be short. The songs are short. One side, I think the first side, the side A, which would be the first half of the CD, it's pretty mellow. And the second side's got a bit more edge to it, but... we like it like that. It's sort of a two-sided record.
You mentioned you laid it out as a vinyl thing. Did you get any pressed on vinyl just for fun?
You know, no, I didn't.
Would have been fun, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So what I did do on that last track you put in the radio there, I actually recorded the sound. I managed to find a vinyl record that had nothing on it.
Oh, really?
And so I recorded the sound of vinyl just playing over top of it. So
that's awesome.
You can hear that, you know. It gives it a life, that life. I always loved the sound of, you know, anticipation, that... For the music to come in.
For sure. So you said that the two are kind of, it's kind of laid out in two pieces. Are they sort of thematically the same, or are they just sort of sonically the same? Like, how did you, what is the theme of the two sides? Like, why is there a difference?
Yeah, I think, I mean, as we were sort of putting songs together and, you know, recording, and, you know, always we record more than we end up keeping, it started to come together as sort of two pieces. I said, you know, it seems like these songs could sort of fit together as an album over here, and these ones fit over here, so... The first side is really, it's a bit more mellow, it's a bit more alt-poppy, you know, pretty sort of mainstream, and the songs are all sort of deal with, you know, hope.
Yeah.
And the second side is a bit more fun, it's a bit more, it's a bit edgier, and a bit more, you know, college rock sounding, and those ones are a bit more, you know, frustration. And
Was that, did these songs all sort of come out of your life? Like, like is the frustration song perhaps about renovating your kitchen or?
No, actually, the songs were done before that. No, the kitchen renovation went really well. I just had no idea how messy it was going to be. Yeah, I mean, some do, some don't. Some are just, you know, stories or, you know, something that catches me that I think of or I'm inspired by. Some of them are pretty personal. The first song you played there, I Will Wait, was... Mm-hmm. That was a hard song. I mean, I wrote that one. It was sort of therapeutic. My wife and I were, you know, wanted to have children, you know, tried for many years, and eventually, you know, we were, you know, pretty depressed about it. It wasn't happening, and so I wrote that song, and it was pretty sad, and I couldn't really play it after I wrote it for a long time, but eventually, you know, she did get pregnant, and we have a wonderful daughter now, so I was able to bring the song out and say, you know, I like it. So
it has a happy ending.
Happy ending, yeah.
Very nice indeed. Obviously, it is your band, it's your name and your songs, but how much do the guys in the band contribute? Like, Jeff, how much say do you get in the songs?
Well, I get to say whether or not I like the song or not to begin with. Yeah. That's a
does it matter though?
That's a big filtering process because Todd will present, you know, 10 songs and he'll say, you know, what do you think of this one? We'll run through the list and the ones that tend to get the band approval, we end up working on a little more, developing them, and those are the ones that usually end up on the album.
Right. Do you guys sort of just shape the sound then, or do you have any say in the lyrics or?
Lyrics aren't generally an issue within the band. Todd takes care of those. Usually he's more...
Does a fine job on his own.
He's more critical of the lyrics than anybody else. He'll go and revise lyrics, you know, time after time. And eventually we'll get used to hearing a song a certain way, and then he'll go and change them. We're like, what are you doing? And he says, well, I didn't like them. So,
right.
But that's his prerogative, him being the primary songwriter.
Right. I got to believe that melodies are a big part of what you're going for when you're writing your songs. That's what I love about the songs, is that they all have great melodies that I can sort of get into. Is that sort of the most important thing, or is that, obviously it's important, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think me growing, like myself growing up, the stuff I really loved was always, you know, melody based.
Yeah.
You know, it always had to be sort of catchy, you know, something that you could sing, something that would sound really good just on its own. If you were just singing it,
right?
You know, I appreciate a song that's, you know, politically charged. You know, the lyrics are, you know, have much more to them. But you know, at the same time, that's the way I usually write. I try to focus on a really good melody and I build a song around that. So, I like pop music. Always have.
Yeah.
Grew up on the Beatles and more sort of glam rock stuff. You know, Slade and Kiss and stuff like that. And the stuff I liked out of that was always, you know, melody based.
Yeah.
And fun to listen to.
The word pop is sometimes a swear word to some people.
Yeah.
They sort of take it as an insult, but you've embraced your inner pop, have you?
You're okay, I think it's full circle. I mean, you know, saying pop for a long time seemed to be, I know through the 80s, you wouldn't say pop because it sounded like you liked you know, the
Duran
stuff
Duran
that was being marketed. I love Duran Duran, but the stuff that was being marketed at, you know, 13-year-old girls. But
yeah.
But now I think it's okay to say pop again. It's no longer a cuss word anymore.
Right. Is there sort of, I mean, as you've grown older, obviously your take on life has changed. And sort of this music, I would think, appeals to people of, you know, a similar age to you.
Yeah. It's been interesting.
It's not geared at those 13-year-olds, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, I mean, if, you know, if they like it, great.
Yeah.
But, no, it's not. We just try to, you know, and that's where the band really comes in. I just write a song, and obviously my influences are, you know, the stuff I grew up with and the stuff I listen to, which would all be sort of that, for that demographic, you know, late 20s, early 30s, you know. I guess Gen X, would that be Gen X?
Yeah, I guess we are.
I don't know. Okay, Gen X. and then, you know, the band puts it together, and they all have their influences, and we're all around the same age, so then it sort of comes out sort of appealing to that age group primarily.
Right.
But, you know, lately I've been getting lots of, you know, emails from people that are a little bit younger, but I tend to, you know, MySpace has been interesting. I don't really understand MySpace.
I don't think any of us do, but...
No, but, you know, every band has to have a MySpace page, and we put it off forever, and I sort of made a tiny little MySpace page, and I hate, you know, the site doesn't make much sense to me, but people use it. And so some people came around. We had a song that was in a movie a little while ago on Lifetime Network and CTV, and getting lots of emails from people, you know, primarily girls, because the song was sort of, you know, love song thing. But early 20s, you know, I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then I noticed, like, looking at the bands they like a lot of 80s, early 90s stuff. So it sort of works.
Yeah. How have you used the internet? I know you have a great website and you do a lot of things up there, including selling tickets to your show, which I don't think I've ever seen anybody do before, which is kind of cool. But has the internet been a big tool for you guys?
As a songwriter, it has been. Like, I found it really useful early on, where we were able to, you know, record some songs before an album was done and put the songs on things like GarageBand, which is pretty cool. And people sort of listen to it and they sort of battle against other stuff. And you sort of get honest feedback and a lot of people listen to it and that's what they're doing. I like that.
And last time you were here, I think we talked, you had a big hit on GarageBand or something like that, didn't you? Like,
yeah, one of the songs did really well.
You're doing really well on there. Yeah. So, but have you used MySpace yet? I know a lot of people do it, especially for promoting shows and stuff in other places. And apparently, it's worked wonders for a lot of people. So,
I don't know. I mean, MySpace is supposed to grow pretty fast. I suppose it would require me actually spending some time on it. But I don't know. It's just one more place. You know, really, with there's like, you know, thousands of sites for bands. And I don't know which ones. They all require the same thing. They all require that people actually sit in front of their computer looking for new music. And I'm not sure, you know, what percentage of people actually do that.
Yeah.
Word of mouth is still the best. Or, campus radio is great. I mean, radio, people still like radio because, you know, they turn it on and then they're exposed to new music. Maybe satellite radio will help with that too. I'm not sure. And I don't know. Like myself, time wise, especially for our demographic, I don't spend a lot of time on the computer looking for new music. Yeah. I mean, I tend to find it through other routes.
This show primarily, I would
absolutely
assume. Absolutely, yeah. The I don't even know where I'm going to go now. I threw myself off with that one. Do you want to place a couple of songs? I know you're standing there with guitars.
Sure. We were sort of talking about what we're going to play on the way here, and we're not even sure how we're going to play it. But this is one off the... this is a song that I've had for a long time. We played a long time, and we've revised it and decided to put it, you know, finally put it on this record. So it's
very
called
good.
Now I Know.
There are so many things that can hurt that you don't want to feel. You should never feel those things for real. Some things can make you cry. Sometimes you'd rather die than to let another tear fall from your eye. Some things make you wonder about the God you're living under. But now I know, I feel as though I can recover slowly. And now I won't take life so slow. I'm seizing every moment now. Right now, right now. You like to hide from all of the news. Safe and sound you choose to avoid the words of life's unhappy views. You like to put the world on hold and never let it go and never let it suffer. Some things make you wonder about the God you're living under. But now I know, I feel as though I can recover slowly. And now I won't take life so slow. I'm seizing every moment now. Right now, right. As though I can recover slowly. And now I won't take life so slow. I'm seizing every moment. But now I know, but now I know, but now I know, now I know.
nice guys. Now I know Todd Hunter and Jeff. I'm sorry, I forgot your last name, Jeff.
Yeah, it's Dirksen.
Dirksen, right. Now, I remember what I was going to ask you before. You were talking about radio. Can even your music is so it's accessible, it's melodic. It's to me it sounds like perfect pop radio music. Can you get your music on the radio for as an independent artist these days, or is that other than here?
Other than here, I don't know. I don't really try that hard. I mean, we don't have the luxury of a lot of time to be able to tour into too many other markets. So I think for indie bands to really get played a lot on the radio, unless they have something that's really eclectic, really unique, they sort of have to be touring to, to give the, college radio in other towns a reason to play them, right? It's like, yeah. Oh, here's a band that's coming through town tomorrow and they'll play it. So you have to create that demand that way. Winnipeg's been really good. Like this record, we've been really lucky so far. A number of radio stations have been playing it. So that's been a nice change, yeah.
The you guys obviously have jobs and do other things. So so is music just sort of a pastime, or is it, or I mean, is it your dream to do this full time, or?
Well, we do it. I think it used to stress me out a lot of years ago that I couldn't do it full time without making some really severe sacrifices.
Right.
But I'm really happy where I'm at right now. I mean, the whole thing, we call the album Life is Good, not just because there was a song in there, but just, Life is Good is really a matter of perspective.
Absolutely.
And that's the whole idea that, the cover with the goldfish in the bowl, is it good or is it not good?
Yeah.
But right now I'm in a really happy place. I've got a wonderful family life. I've got a really good work situation, and I've got enough time left over to write songs and get together with these guys who are great, and I have a really good time doing it. And we play, we don't get to play as often as we like, but when we do, we find now that people are coming out and they appreciate it. And so it's all positive. Does it bother me that we can't do it every day? Well, not really, actually. Right now, I'm pretty happy just making records. I think if we had to tour, that's all we would do to be able to make a living.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't have the luxury of, being able to, focus on making new songs. And that's really what I enjoy doing, is making new songs.
That's so interesting. And because maybe I get jaded just from being around so many musicians or whatever, but I always kind of wondered, this guy's got great songs and puts out great records, and you obviously put a lot of work into it. It looks good, and you do a good job of everything you do. And I always kind of wondered, why doesn't he play more? Why doesn't he, whatever? But I guess you're okay with that, which is refreshing.
Yeah, I'm okay with it right now.
Yeah.
Music takes time to travel.
Yeah.
I mean, record labels, of course, have millions of dollars, and hundreds of people that know what they're doing to make sure that a record comes out and within a month they can fill arenas,
Right.
But we recognize, that our music is going to take, word of mouth. It's going to take a while. It's going to take people like yourself that, actively seek out music that's not what would be pushed on them on commercial radio and play it.
Yeah.
And, that could take a lot of years to build up, to find your, find, I guess, what would be called our market. And I'm okay with that.
Right, you mentioned a little bit before about TV. You've had some good fortune in the TV area. How did you get your song in a movie, and then you ended up on some PBS show a little while ago?
Yeah, that was great. It's been really, as sparse as our opportunities are, they tend to be pretty interesting.
Yeah,
like last year, we had one fan who lives in California, but a former Canadian. I guess he's dual citizenship. I'm not sure what his citizenship is. But he loves the band and, paid to fly us out to play a private show on a golf course for 100 people. That's, we didn't know.
I remember you telling me about that.
So, stuff like that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And lots of fun to do. And, you don't know what you're getting into. So, when was it? When were we going
that
to
was
Fargo?
Last August.
Well, that was, yeah. But when did we go to Fargo?
Oh, that was a month ago.
Yeah, not too long ago.
I'm a new dad, so time is just a relative thing. But we went to Fargo last month because we were invited on to a Prairie Public Television show called Soundcheck. And what Soundcheck is basically a program that's it's like an Austin City Limits. You just play. In fact, when we got there, they gave us no guidelines except, oh, just, you know, we'll give you the, it'll give you the signal and you just play for 25 minutes and stop. And so the show is going to be broadcast in the fall sometime. And they'll let us know, September, I think. Yeah. And right after Austin City Limits, of all things, on a Saturday night. And it's just going to be Todd Underband just playing songs. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've seen a lot of stuff on that show. I mean, the Wallflowers were on last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we're just hoping that, you know, because the budget is, of course, you know, not the same as it would be for Austin City Limits, and you know, not having an actual crowd there, we're just hoping that we're not following up someone, you know, that sold, you know, 100 million records, you know.
But if you are, that's great, because then, you know, obviously their fans will tune in and...
I suppose, but I mean, it looks, you know, it's got that sort of Lawrence Welk look to it, maybe as an oddity sort of sideshow thing, but no, it was pretty neat. It was lots of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and licensing, I mean, our stuff sort of sits in, I guess, well in the sort of TV genre. I mean, TV shows tend to be going after indie artists now because it has something to do with, I didn't really understand it, like red tape bureaucracy. Like, you know, if a TV show wants to use a big label artist, not only do they have to pay a fortune for the song, but it can take months for it to get cleared for use.
Oh, really?
Whereas a lot of lower budget television shows usually, you know, need things within a couple of weeks.
So yeah.
Go to an indie artist and they get a phone call. Can we use the song? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And it's done. So there's a company called Arpix Media in Toronto that that really liked our stuff and contacted me and said, there's this movie coming out, Playing House, that we want to use your song. Your song's perfect for it. And the director and the producer and everything want to use the song. So I said, great. I signed the clearance forms. And it was kind of neat, you know, seeing the song.
For
in the movie.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But is there any more of that stuff in the works? Is there any way you can seek out that stuff? Or do you just have to hope that somebody comes calling again?
Well, there's a couple of companies that actually do that, music licensing. So there's one. There's one in Canada, the Arpix I talked about. They like our stuff, and he's actively the main guy, Chris Robinson, who's a really nice guy. He's actively, you know, seeking out projects that he can pitch our music to, which
that's
is great.
Great. Yeah.
And there's a company in the States called Noma, a much larger company that again contacted me, said really like your stuff, would be great for licensing, and they're just waiting for the right project to come up to pitch it to. So
that's great.
Yeah, so just keep your fingers crossed.
The I guess the next thing that's sort of on the agenda though is the big Winnipeg CD release party. Let's mention that. I don't know if we mentioned it yet.
Yeah, so next Saturday
night, the big Park Theater.
Right? Yeah, we never played there.
It's an interesting venue. Have you been there?
I've been there. I mean, it's a really really neat place.
Yeah.
We just wanted to do something different. And also time-wise, it worked for us, you know, when they were available.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think people that haven't been there will really enjoy coming out and experiencing the park. It's such a neat venue that we're really looking forward to it.
You can sit and have a beer and pizza and watch the show.
Yeah.
And there's tables and everything. And it's really neat.
How cool
so,
is that?
Yeah. So it should be a good time. The tickets are available at the park now. Is that right?
Yeah. The park is selling them. And, of course, people can reserve. It's too late for us to send tickets. Some people actually order tickets through the website, toddunderband.com. And we sent them in the mail. But now we're just saying we'll reserve them at the door for you. So
right.
I'm not sure where the park is at. So they've only got so many. So if they sell out there, then people will have to reserve them or, you know, take their chances at the door.
And it's a fairly large venue, but I mean, it's it could conceivably sell out. So if folks want to go, they should probably check it out in advance, which should be good.
Yeah.
Anyways, do you want to play us one more song?
Sure. It's actually a new one. And knowing that you're going to have us do two songs, this one's called Goodbye. And Jeff says, don't play it with a capo on.
I can only do so much.
I like to challenge him now and again just to see if he's paying attention.
Summer's almost done. Soon the leaves will be Lessons on the move. I got so much to do. I got so much to do. I wish that I could hold this moment till we're old. This moment till we're old.
Nice indeed, brand new from the Todd Hunter Band. Anything else on the horizon? You're
beyond that.
Beyond that.
No, we got blinders on. I mean, we just wanted to.
I really do take it one day at a time. This band.
You know,
that's what I like.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we get really, really motivated with the book and stuff. I mean, our plan is to sort of, you know, get this show done and have a really good time, and then we're sort of going to reevaluate what our plan is from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't really booked too much in advance. I was used to before.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now we're trying to figure out, okay, let's do this and let's just see, spend some time making sure that all the radio stations get it and see how much play it's been getting. Winnipeg's been very good so far.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of, you know, what kind of shows we want to do. You know, for a while we were doing lots of the pub shows.
Yeah.
I mean, those are okay, but I'd like to do something different this year, and I think we all sort of feel the same way, so.
Maybe some showcase sets if we can swing them, you know, with other established bands coming through town. That kind of exposure is always great.
Right.
Yeah, I think we need to start, you know, networking with some other bands a bit more. And I think there are more bands out there that we fit with now, too.
Yeah.
So there's lots of great acts we'd like to, you know, hook up with. So.
There's one thing that I've noticed and really appreciate you guys is that you're always there when there's a benefit or something, or when somebody is putting something together to raise money for somebody. You guys are always giving us CDs to give away or playing at fundraising shows. And so, you know, I appreciate that you take the time to do that, and I commend you for doing so, because a lot of people, quite frankly, don't bother if there's nothing in it for them. So,
yeah, I mean, we love to you know, support any good benefit and you know, volunteer our services. We you know, we're all pretty lucky. You know, we live in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, there you go. And we're not, you know, we're old enough. We're all working, and, you know, we all have houses and families. And so we're in a good spot in our lives right now. So when there's an opportunity for us to, you know, try to help out and support a cause, and, you know, we're definitely going to jump at it.
That's tremendous and much appreciated. Anyways, guys, thanks very much for being here. Jeff's got to go home and rub some cream on that burn. You got to put something on that, man.
Jeff Lobster.
if you can get a sunburn in April, there's nothing to complain about.
That's true. We were just talking about how beautiful it was. Anyways, check out toddhunterband.com, and the CD, is it available anywhere other than the website?
Not yet. You can get through CD Baby in the States. It's, mm-hmm. it's available there. And through our website now. Yeah, I think you can order through the website now. It'll be in stores in Winnipeg right as of April 29th or
excellent
next week. Yeah.
All right, it's a fine record. Always good to have you here. Should we play something else off of it?
Sure, Jeff.
I'm not sure what's been played already.
So. He played I Will Wait and Gone.
So. And Life is Good, we played off the top of the show.
How about Fine?
Fine. You bet. Which one is that now?
Is it five or four?
Oh, we're fine. Yeah,
okay, we're fine.
I'm a little slow. All right, here it is. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
April of last year, that's Todd Hunter Band live in the studio. They're playing on Friday night, West End Cultural Center, October the 12th. Fundraiser, this is a really great cause. It's the McDonald Youth Services Music Program. And believe me, McDonald Youth Services does some very, very, very important things in this town to help some very troubled kids. It's an amazing cause, and you can go see Todd Hunter Band. Brendan Nealis, who's good, along with our friend Marcel Desolat. And the Mighty Mighty Paperbacks, that is a great show, $20, and there's always all kinds of prizes and fun and everything. Good cause, check it out, Friday night, West End Cultural Center. And yeah, that's about it. We'll be back on Thursday, Steel Belted Radio. I'll be here, I don't know who will join me, but I'm sure it'll be interesting, so check that out, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And then next Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m., we Tell the Band to Go Home one more time. Check out the website, tellthebandtogohome.com, for all the podcasts and information and all kinds of other stuff. Drop me an email sometime, won't you? Jeff at tellthebandtogohome.com. Anyways, thanks for being here. Stay tuned for the Bluegrass Guy. I hope.